Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, we're going to be okay this week. I am not editing anymore, which means I'm not going to blast the crazy bus theme with Titus laughing in everyone's ears. I'm really proud of what I did in the midpoint, though, with the Japanese Mario versus Luigi commercial slowly fading into to people spamming sounds of that game in the microphone while I was telling the story about the Old West and Scrib was just making harmonica noises. He wasn't playing the harmonica. He was just making harmonica noises.
I need to go back and at least listen to that.
I really enjoyed it, but it got very divided reception. There are people who hated the ClusterCast 4.0 and never want to hear a ClusterCast again. But I also had people texting my phone personally about how much they loved ClusterCast 4.0.
I mean, honestly, at this point, maybe you and Matt and Scrib and Colin should just do ClusterCast on the side.
Maybe. I always have a lot of fun with it, but at the same time, I understand
wait, Jimmy,
why
you don't
want to
join
jam.
In on this wonderful idea, Jimmy.
Absolutely
I bet Matt is one
not.
Of the people who
Jimmy.
Hates it.
Are you just looking for someone to give you an out right now, Matt? So
No. It's fun most of the time. It gets a little crazy, but it's fun most of the time.
I love it. I adore it because it's a weird George thing. Like my bullshit sense of humor just like has an opportunity to go streaking through the sports fields whenever we do a cluster cast.
Yeah.
But we're not doing one this week. Yeah, we're back.
Yeah.
We're normal again.
Hello and welcome.
Hello.
And welcome. Yeah.
And welcome to the TOVG podcast.
Amazing.
Let's talk
week.
About video games.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys first. I'm going to try and think if I've played literally anything.
Okay. Well.
Oh, you know, I do have something to talk about because Overwatch Competitive came out.
God damn, that was last week's.
No, well, I actually played it now. Last time I played one match and I was like, yeah, it's all right. I have extended thoughts about it.
All right. Who wants to go first? Should I spin a bottle?
Spin a bottle. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Okay.
Oh, look, it landed on Matt.
Nice. Well, I've been playing a little bit of Dishonored. It's a game I've been wanting to play for a while.
Oh,
I always
man.
Saw it there, you know, on the side. I was like, oh, that looks like a cool game, but I never played it. I got into it, and I'm pretty far in. I've still yet to do the DLCs because I want to do the DLCs. But, man, it's a different little game. It's not the normal stuff. Not to say that none of this stuff hasn't been done before, but it's like a nice little stealth game. How do I explain this game?
How far into it are you? Sorry.
I beat the main story just recently.
Oh, okay. So you are all the way through.
Yeah, I'm all the way through. I want to do the DLCs before I guess you should review a game for its regular stuff and not the. Well, I don't know. I kind of do both, but yeah, I'm in there. Basically, you play a guy who was dishonored, and that's hence the name. I don't want to spoil anything. Hey. They make you care about the characters you need to care about. They land that pretty nicely. They have little details like, oh yeah, that would, I guess it will kind of be in spoiler territory, but like they show you, for instance, how a guy can shoot, for instance, some certain things that you could totally miss. And they, they even address those little bits. Like it's really there's some love in there, I gotta say. But anyways, the main thing is that it's a stealth game, right? Which I play non-lethally. You can choose between them. And it's very blatant. Like in the quest, they'll say, oh, this is a non-lethal route. It's a little bit gray-ish. You don't, there's not, it's not really, you can be good. It's more kind of like, even if you go non-lethal, it still makes you feel like you kind of did something wrong. It's very strange in that way. But you have magical powers. And it's like a steampunk, supernatural, stealth game. There you go. Where you have a open world, based on like, kind of like, oh, you're going out on a mission. So you take a boat with Samuel to a mission, and that whole area is practically open world. There's a few loading screens separating each area so you can know where like certain collectibles are, because you can collect like runes that give you more points for you to upgrade your blink ability, which is like kind of your teleport or your,
it's so smooth.
Yeah, and it's super
very, very
smooth.
Clever implementation of how to teleport in a first person video game.
It's actually the best thing for the stealth aspect of it, because
and I also think
you
that's
can blink
how,
behind someone and just like freaking nick them, you know? It's really satisfying.
I think that's also how people came up with the idea of moving by tossing the teleporter in VR games. You blink in a very similar way in a lot of VR games that want you to move around without holding a stick.
You're such a hater of the blinking. It's not perfect, I would say, but it is fun. Mm-hmm. I had fun playing it.
I played it back when it came out, and the big thing that was killing me, I really wanted to like the game, but I feel like it was gimping the non-lethal routes. Like, you have a lot more toys to play with.
Yes.
And that was the big contentious objection when I did a video on it way, way years ago when it came out. And I was actually thinking about Dishonored last night, because since Doom, you know, I'm a little anxious. I'm like, oh, if I try to find a flaw in a well-liked game, even if it is a flaw everyone agrees on, and I focus and expand upon that to try to, you know, give the developers feedback and also increase the breadth of discussion about this particular game and how it can be better, I you know, get hate for it. And Dishonored is one of those games where there's like, it's well executed, it's well made, I like the style and the world, but it has like one crippling flaw, which is how gimpy it makes playing a non-lethal cool dude run. Because I noticed later on in the second half, which is why I was asking you how far you got, I kind of started to grow disillusioned with it, because I noticed I was quick save spamming a lot, because there was really nothing to do besides blink. Yeah, see?
That's
I'm
the
not
problem
crazy.
With it. Dude,
if I
dude,
made a
no,
video
you're not,
violent,
because
the people would hate me.
Because there's two there's all right. So all right, look, the game is great, but you are constantly, there is no way to knock out a guard without you killing him, okay, when he sees you. That's it. As soon as you're seen, you have to reload the save every single time. Every single time. And it's basically better become a mechanic in the game. That's how much. If you're going to do a non-lethal route, you will absolutely load and save. Save and load. Save and load over and over again. And you just eventually have all these files that you have backed up just in case you mess something up. All right. You got to make sure you don't put the unconscious person in water or he will die.
That's right.
You have to make sure you don't accidentally, he doesn't accidentally fall off a tall cliff or something, or he will die. Like, there's a lot of little things that, like, okay, you got to be extremely careful. Plus, sometimes you're gimped out of story doing the non-lethal stuff as well.
Oh, really? Because my argument was that you get the good ending by going non-lethal. You also unlock a better version of the last level, as opposed to a dark and stormy version that's super difficult. Like, it's like my thing.
You're talking about the whole ending part.
The chaos system.
Right. Where if you're killing people, the levels. Chaos grows up. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes them harder and more enemies show up to better more increase the security because they evidently weepers. Need it because people have been dying.
Yeah.
It's a stealth game that you got to sneak around them with. So my thing was that it's a very similar like mechanical loop with the problems I was having with Doom, where it was a good game, but prodding you towards not an interesting way to play it. In this case, there was the chaos meter and the good ending encouraging you to do a non-lethal route, as well as a good decade and a half of stealth gameplay generally idolizing the non-lethal route. But I've heard, and I bet it's true, that the game's a lot more fun if you just go kill people and get into fights where you possess them and telekinetically move their bullets back into their guns and rewind time in the middle of a fight to pull off cool rah-rah action guy moves. But if you actually play it non-lethally, like you're trying to be really good at playing a stealth game, and if you're also going for the best level with no chaos developing, then you're gonna not have as good a time.
I had fun doing the stealth stuff, but there's so many upgrades and
there's
stuff
so
I want to try.
Tools if you don't, so many more tools.
You can't upgrade your bolts, your sleep bolts. You can't do any like you. What you start with is what you get, and then that's it. That's all you have.
Blink your way. Yeah. Throw the VR teleporter to the other room. You're playing Farscapes or whatever it was called.
And you can't take the sword out and just use something else. No, like. You can't even press that button at all, or you will slice people to death. Like, automatically, you will just nick them. That's it. Done. They're dead. It's a little, I don't know. Why I have the non-lethal stuff there? And it seems like it doesn't really change too much.
It's really sad, because your usual stealth game, and even the first-person stealth games that inspired it, like between Thief and Deus Ex... You doing a non-lethal no-kill route is almost a exploit. Like, the people who developed Deus Ex did not actually expect players to go through without killing anyone, but players figured it out after months of cross-referencing certain events and checklists, because it was something that you had to work for. It felt like a real accomplishment. And with this one, they've designed a non-lethal route, but it's easy to see and not exactly the accomplishment it used to be. And therefore, it doesn't really require a lot of fancy tricks to pull off. Like, when I was doing the MGS3 non-lethal no-trank playthrough, like, that was the most fun, the most intense way to play the game. Whereas with Dishonored, it's the most fun, the most intense way to play the game. It's the way the dev meant it to be played. If you stealth, but also occasionally get into a big dumb fight.
Mm. Yeah. When you make a mistake or something or whatnot.
Yeah.
I think when I say you miss some stuff there's, I don't want to give off anything, but there's certain times where instead of talking to a character, you choke him out. And you end up.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, and there's a big part where you choke them out instead of talking, and you end up missing some stuff. And you're like, yeah. And I would replay and do it the other way because I would want to try some stuff. And I think I need to have to replay it again and see what happens. Like, if it, what did I miss even more than I think I did? Because, man, it's clear, but it's not clear at the same time. It's very, very weird. But yeah, that's Dishonored. I don't want to. We gotta be quick. We gotta be quick. So what have you guys been playing?
I like that you were playing Dishonored of all things, though, because I was actually thinking about Dishonored last night.
Yeah. I've been meaning to play it, but
you know,
I guess
time.
I played another Bethesda game. I've been playing a little bit of Oblivion.
Oh,
so you're keeping it up.
Well, just for funsies, I did one stream where I had people pick what my class, race, and all that was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and continue that and do like one a week or something where I just continue the tale.
What did they make you?
I expected everybody to make my class really fucked up and imbalanced, and instead they made me a unarmed Khajiit thief. So I'm like pretty much an optimized class.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I actually made one of those before.
Yeah, it's so it is the epic tale of One Punch Cat. And my grand story begins with me going to the Imperial Arena, watching those two guys who are just like punching each other, and you get 5 free hand-to-hand points. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I found their chest and I was like, I haven't stolen anything yet. So I like snuck and like wedged myself between some boxes, and it took me like 70 tries, but I picked the very hard level lock with a security skill of like 16. So not good. And inside was cuffs that give you plus 20 hand to hand. So I'm pretty balling right now.
Damn. But
yeah, so I did that. And then, of course, Overwatch competitive. I guess you can say the honeymoon is over and people realize that competitive's pretty fucking broken right now and not very worthwhile.
No Pokemon Go? What's going on?
I play the beta. And plus the servers are down. They crashed like
multiple times. Like,
yeah, yeah. No one can play right now.
I couldn't even log into Pokemon TCG. It's so broken.
I opened up Go and I was playing it. And to be fair, it's a little more polished than the beta was. Like some of the assets look better. The UI looks better. But, and they added more gyms and more Poke spots to get items. So all of those are good improvements across the board. However, the music is exactly the same and the music is bad. It's like, it's like, I don't want to be overly harsh, but it's just like like change the instruments MIDI of some of the old Pokemon Red and Blue music, but with very poorly chosen MIDI instruments.
Ouch.
What is with this flat ground I see in Matt Visual's picture?
Flat ground.
That's the map is what you're seeing in the back. Me, that's my icon, and it shows where I'm looking. So that's my street. So you know my street. That's the actual street that goes to my house.
So is this like a Google map data that they turn into a Pokemon?
And you see those little items in the back that you can walk to get more Pokemon balls and whatever. Yeah. Pokeballs.
Are those little white dots on the ground?
No, the blue box that's like way off in the distance.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you have to go to someone's house?
All the Poke spots, that's a Poke spot where you get items. Those are all randomly chosen as like local landmarks. So example, one of them near me is like a fountain that's in like a little plaza.
Holy shit, this is weird. I gotta try this. This sounds like it's right up my alley, actually.
Like, to be completely honest, while I will say the game is unpolished and I think the music is bad, if you are looking for the experience of, I want to go on a walk and I want to walk a couple miles and just kind of like, you know, maybe you're like going to an open mall or something like that, this game is very fun for that. It drains your battery really fast, but like you keep the thing open and you find Pokemon and you go into this little catching mini game, and then like you can set them into local gyms to defend the gym if it's your team, or you can try and take over other gyms. And for all that, it's cool. I think it's very lacking currently, but they said that they're going to be adding a lot of stuff to it. I just wish they would have like waited a couple months before they released it and added it with a bit more to do. But for now, it's pretty good if you like going on walks. For me, I'm in California during a heat wave and a drought, and I don't want to go on walks pretty much ever. So
I don't want to walk around my neighborhood. I'm straight. I don't know what landmark they got that Pokeball at, but I ain't going to it.
That's what scares me about this, because looking at this and knowing Matt's name, that could be the Skull House. that could be the random local landmark they picked is the creepy little haunted house at the end of Matt Street.
For people who don't know, there's this house down the road from me that has just every skull you can think of. all around the house, the outside of the house in the front, just everywhere. And it's very like dark. It has trees that cover it. It's like what you would expect from a, like a demon lord's house or something. Like it's just everywhere. Like it's so weird. It's just random. Just there. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen some Confederate flags. I've seen a lot of stuff, but I've never seen that. And it's the weirdest
flags.
Thing. Yeah,
in
dude.
In your neighborhood?
No.
Oh, okay. I was really confused.
I've seen a lot of weird houses, is what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. No, not in my neighborhood, but in Georgia. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Sorry. I totally distracted you from your competitive Overwatch. I was just surprised that you didn't play Pokemon Go.
No, it's all right. I want to give it a go, but I can't because the servers are down, but just not super interested. I guess the other thing that kind of turns me off is as a beta player, in the beta, every day you could just open up the shop and you get 2,500 coins. That was to expedite your ability to play the game because you can buy a bunch of like incense, which you just place and it tracks Pokemon to your current location over for half an hour and like basically stuff to help you move quickly so they can test later bits of gameplay, like once you have trained up Pokemon and such. But obviously it's not in the full game. You get no coins when you enter the shop for free. And what you have to do is go to a gym and like have a poke, like take over the gym and have a Pokemon defending the gym. And then every day that you have that there, you get a defender bonus and you get some experience points and you get some coins.
See,
so I have to do work if I want to get coins and I don't really want to. Luckily, there's like 5 gyms near me, but whatever.
It gets people to buy the coins though.
What did they decide as a gym?
It's usually major landmarks, at least in the area. So for example, there's one in the TOBG office. There's a fountain outside of the office and it's literally called Three Squirters. And that's the gym. It's very funny.
Three Squirters?
Yeah, because that's what the fountain is called.
Oh my gosh.
But
wow.
The one near
this
my...
This is not a cluster guess.
The closest one to my house or my apartment is actually pretty cool. It's the town's local water tower. So like it's absolutely a landmark in the middle of the town. So it's kind of cool that like I can go walk to the water tower and like do a gym battle. But anyway, enough about Pokemon Go. As far as Overwatch competitive goes, basically people have been complaining that sudden death is fucking stupid because it's fucking stupid. Because in Overwatch, if you play a capture point or a payload map, so like one team on attack, one team on defend, you both play one round of each. So like one team attacks and then the other team attacks. And based on who gets the payload farther or who captures more points, who gets farther in the stage basically, determines the winner after the two rounds. But if you both capture the same amount or if you both, you know, beat it, it goes into sudden death and it literally coin tosses and then it goes, what, like we redo the stage, one team goes on attack, one team goes on defend, and the attacking team just has to capture the first point and the defending team has to defend the first point. And that's so fucking imbalanced, it's not even funny. Like that basically that means the defending team is at a disadvantage every single time. And not only that, but overtimes and search times have made singular competitive matches take up to like 45 plus minutes. So
damn,
you want your cool gold gun that costs 300 competitive points, which is you get one per win.
Oh,
yeah. Have fun fucking 2 years down the line.
Oh, yay, they did it.
they already said they're removing sudden death from season 2 of Overwatch competitive. So, I mean, they hear what people are saying, but it's just like, it's not really worth it to play right now. The capture point maps are fun, or the like single control point maps are fun, where it's like one point in between and it's just best of 5. But the payload stuff is not, it needs tweaking, a lot of tweaking.
Mm. The memes, so anyway, the memes will keep it alive. The memes will.
Oh, yeah, dude.
The memes will keep it alive. It's fine. The memes are good.
the 700 million D.Va cosplayers will keep it alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't worry about it. Overwatch is going to be fine. It's Blizzard.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, base game is still fantastic. I still play quick play all the time. But competitive, I'm just kind of sticking away from right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I still.
What about you?
I still plan on getting it eventually. I spent the past week absolutely fascinated by World War One.
Oh, are you going to go deep on Battlefield One?
Yeah, probably.
Going deep.
When I was talking about it earlier on the podcast, I was super duper hype because I was like, yeah, yay, something fresh and different. And then when they showed gameplay of it being like really fast people sprinting around spraying automatics at everyone, I was like, oh. So I spent the past week playing a bunch of games that are based off of World War One. Not a lot of them.
Mm.
There are not a lot of those.
So you played all of them, right?
I have played, according to Wikipedia's list of World War One games, I have played one half of all the first-person shooters based off World War One because there are 10 of them, and I've played 5.
Wow.
I know,
you're
practically
a scholar on the subject.
Oh, yeah, I am getting all the details right. There are a shitload of flight sims, though, and a little bit of strategy games. I think there are almost more first-person games than there are strategy games, though, which is also really weird and something I genuinely didn't expect, because you'd imagine that, like, big, giant empires having to mobilize troops across the globe would be a more interesting challenge than firing lever-action guns at people and bunkers. But anyways, yeah, it's a really, really weird setting where developers are like struggling to balance how to pull up fun from mud and death. And also something that you don't really see a lot is sensitivity issues.
Mm.
Like on my video, I see one comment already that I really love that just came in while we were recording that said, some things are sacred, and as a funeral for my 1,000-year-old empire, I'd rather games, and especially FPS games, never touch it. Which, from an American perspective, is something I can't really relate to. I don't know which 1,000-year-old empire he's talking about, but there were 4 of them in World War One that just either died or went absolutely nutso afterwards. Like, World War One is the dividing line between the world caring about being really prim and proper on during most of antiquity, and then people turning into absolutely crazy nutso stoners for all of modernity. You had the Russian Empire turn into the Soviet Union, the German Empire turned into the Third Reich, that they went absolutely crazy. The Ottoman Empire became colonies, completely dissolved, and the Austro-Prussian Empire, Prussia doesn't exist anymore as a country when it was there for forever before then. So you had a lot of major political institutions of the world collapse. 36 million people die, and I have a line about that in the video, and someone in the comment section just quoted that line and said, I think I'm gonna feel sick. And I'm like, oh god, what did I walk into? But it's still like, I think that if you think about a subject well and try to come up with some creative concept that gamifies the systems at play of a historical topic, you can make really, really interesting games out of it. And one of the ideas I suggested in this video that I think would be really fun to think about, there's just so many fun things to think about with the setting, which is why I'm fascinated with it, is a World War One grand strategy game where the win state is to guarantee that a World War II will never happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that would be,
I think,
interesting.
That's a lot of the reason why this is such a sensitive and sore topic, is because the end of World War One set up like half of the world to go absolutely crazy over the next half century. Like, it is constantly argued by a lot of historians that the Treaty of Versailles more or less guaranteed that a World War II would be happening a few decades later. And there, it, of course, in retrospect, it's easy to see that it did. So, yeah, playing with the setting is interesting. It's a case where it seems like the whole world was going crazy. The world was failing, but people weren't going crazy in the midst of it. There's these, there's this weird system of honor that you occasionally see popping up sometimes in some stories. When the Red Baron was shot down, his wreckage was discovered by an Australian unit that recovered the body and gave him full military funeral rites. And there's other flying aces who would deliver letters from captured prisoners back home to their families to let them know they're all right and alive. And way earlier on in the first year of the war, there was the Christmas troops where some units across dividing lines of the trenches were just like, fuck this, let's enjoy one day.
Yeah.
And so it seems like a horrible situation where the people involved still showed great respect and honor for each other in the middle of the worst of it. And that's really, really interesting. And also kind of, it feels weird to say it because you also have to juggle the sensitivity issues, but there's also kind of an element of romanticism to that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So yeah, that's why I've been absolutely fascinated. I've been playing these games that have been trying to make a game out of weird situations with varying degrees of success. I think the biggest kick I got out of the whole endeavor was discovering a game called Necrovision. Have you guys heard of a game called Necrovision?
No, I haven't.
Oh my god. Necrovision is a Polish first person shooter that plays like a it's a very, very strange mix between a like Call of Duty scripted corridor shooter and also Wolfenstein and Painkiller. Like when I load up the menu, some of the most cliched horror action music plays that's just like trumpets and drums making scary noises in front of a barbed wire frame of super heavy metal looking artwork of like a guy in covered in gas masks blasting demons and zombies on the top of a hill, because basically soldiers and Lovecraft creatures start popping out of the ground in the middle of the Battle of the Somme, which is a battle so horrible that the protagonist of Amnesia Machine for Pigs tries to go back in time and kill his children so that they don't have to experience it. But in this game, it turns into a literal hell on earth where doom happens because so many people are dying in one place at the same time. And the whole concept is absolutely hilarious. And the presentation is hilarious. It's like a perfect example of a game so campy and dumb and stupid that it's genuinely enjoyable. And out of all the games I play, that was probably the most fun. I got a kick out of the flight simulators. I got a kick out of the really weird first person shooters, which was one of them. And I also got sucked into a Paradox grand strategy game for the first time ever. There's one called Darkest Hour that has a World War I scenario, and I wanted to play for 1 hour to get footage. Ended up playing for 6 hours. Whoops.
Dang.
Of course you use the stick for those flight simulators, right?
Oh yeah, my stick's dying though, and I think it finally might be time to replace it. It veers to the left. When if I just plug it in and start using it, it's calibrated properly. But after about a minute of twisting and shifting my stick all over the place, it starts veering to the left, and that's not good. Fun story. I can tell a fun story about the flight simulator that I finished it off with, and that was a flight sim called Wings Over Flanders Fields, which is, I think it is a paid mod.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah, because those are much more common in the flight simulator world. And it's also a concept that I hate, as evidenced by how much of a clusterfuck getting this flight simulator set up is. It's really expensive. It's I don't, the reason I say paid mod, even though it's a like genuinely complete product, is that I don't see any Microsoft logos all over their website, even though it requires an installation of Microsoft Combat Simulator 3 from 2002 to run. Wow. This is a game that started out as a mod and had a full-fledged paid release around 2013, 2014. And it requires a game from 2002 installed on your computer to run. That game is, it's not easy to find these days. Once you have it installed, you have to patch it to specifically version 3.1. Then you can install Wings Over Flanders Field, which is a, it's sold in bundles now that have expansion number one or expansion number two included in the bundle. The game with expansion number one is $40. You can no longer buy the base game by itself. It's $40, and it requires a game from 2002 installed. If you buy the full everything package with both their expansions, then it's $60, $65 actually, I think. And I didn't go with that option. Of course, I went with a cheaper one.
Mm-hmm.
Once I had it installed, a whole bunch of meters were popping up all over the screen. The process took forever. It was the weirdest install wizard I've ever seen in my life. I finally got everything installed and ready to go, and it was missing WMP.dll. What is WMP.dll, you ask? It's a DLL that
Windows
comes with Windows.
Player?
Yeah. So yeah. I go online and try to download this DLL and find it, but I also find forum posts from people saying it wasn't working. Nowhere in the official FAQ, which is huge and enormous and has really complicated install instructions, did they mention this particular problem. I had to go into Control Panel and re-enable something I should never have to deal with in my life, which is Windows Media Player, to get a game to get a game from 2004
wow.
that requires a game from 2002 working. Ah! Eventually I got it running and it was fine, but holy shit, guys, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure.
And here's another fun story. Getting Mouse Look to work in this flight sim is you have to emulate Track IR, but with a hack that enables it to capture your mouse movements instead of your face movements. And with
what?
A hack that also hooks that into the Wings Over Flanders Fields, but no, not really, Microsoft Combat Simulator 3 engine. So you download Track No IR, which is the like alternate free version, except the developer of this started wanting people to pay for it. So fine, I get on PayPal and send $3.50 to this one piece of throwaway software I'll never use again, just so I can have pretty footage for a video. Mm-hmm. I download a mod for Track No IR, which is the open source free alternative to Track IR, and get Mouse Look running. Like, what the hell, guys? No, if the thing is, if this was not a paid mod for super hardcore, incredibly patient simulator people, they would not be able to get away with this shit at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like one, even though it's absolutely a fine game to play once everything's set up and running, I have just never before in my life encountered an install process so convoluted and prone to failure from a product at this price level. Like,
well, that sucks.
Even yeah. though paid mods are a thing in the flight simulator community, and that was a lot of a counter argument that people were using in my video where I talked about how awful paid mods are. No, this is awful. Please don't spread this. Holy shit. It's terrible.
Damn.
The game's fine though. I mean, like I was saying, once you're playing it and getting it going, things are okay, but it's just such a stark contrast to the Red Baron game from 1990 where I just drag and drop it into DOSBox and everything works.
Yeah.
You could just jump right into that. And the modern flight sim though, the one that should have all the bells and whistles of modern convenience, turns out to be the exact opposite situation.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's my rant about flight simulators these days, which makes me sad because there's a lot of potential, especially once VR gets going, for flight simulators to be a big thing again. But I...
Well, that is not the norm, I would say, for... I guess for those types of games. I can't remember the name, but there's a couple out there that people
play.
Two
of the flagship titles are Eve Valkyrie and... Elite Dangerous, which are not like flight sims, but they're space sims, which is a similar
concept.
There's
a couple of flight ones, like with like army vehicles and stuff like that. Yeah. There's a couple of YouTube channels built around it. It's way easier to install.
Yeah, I forgot simulator the name of people would love it. I guess just like the thing is, I think what this situation shows is why simulators aren't popular anymore. Like they used to be a subset of the action game genre. They used to be a kind of mainstream thing, but the genre eventually got so obsessed with the little details and not really streamlining them in a engineering way, to the point where you have to have all of these other pieces of software installed to get the flight simulator to work, all of these peripherals to do it right. The official Wings Over Flanders Field recommends a track IR setup, which is kind of dummying a headset where you move your head in front of your monitor and it moves the camera around the cockpit. I did an alternate version with the webcam and it didn't work at all. It did a terrible job of capturing my face.
Yeah, those don't work. I used to try that to do Elite Dangerous before I got my Oculus, and it's pretty bad. I actually end up putting my old cell phone on my head.
Oh yeah. Would that do it?
Yeah. I there's footage of this on the Elite Dangerous review. There's footage of this, of me trying this. The phone, it's on my head and it works sort of. You sort of get it, but then it's kind of awkward because you're kind of, it's not calibrated just right. So you're moving your head too much to the side, to the point that you're not even looking at the screen anymore. So, you know, you have to kind of, you know, push your eyes to the right if you're looking to the left and stuff like that. Yeah, it's not so good to jerry rig stuff. And then the track IR thing is like $100+. Maybe it's
on
sale
now.
Yeah, it's like I can look it up right now.
It's just like
it's just a little
candle, right?
Yeah.
It's
just a little thing. It's $150. So you strap it in and then it like tracks you.
So, you know, if you want to play the preeminent single player World War One flight sim, there's another product called Rise of Flight, but that's for multiplayer. But Wings Over Flanders Field is the best single player WW1 flight sim around right now. You need this $40 game. If you can find it somewhere, it's a $5 download hosted on a very skeezy website. You can get Microsoft Combat Simulator 3. You got to pay $330 for track no IR to get your head tracking working. And then you got to have whatever joystick you got. Your room is going to be full of plastic and your computer is going to be full of garbage. And your wallet's not going to have any money in it just to play a flight simulator nowadays.
Time to dust off the old Logitech fight stick in your basement.
The fight stick, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, flight stick. Oh,
no,
my God.
But it would probably work anyway.
probably.
Like, I mean, flying with a little lollipop joystick and having a control panel made out of arcade buttons would still get the job done, I'm sure.
Quarter circle roundhouse.
Quarter circle roundhouse, the red
FADC
baron out of the skies.
Super to land the plane. Yes.
oh my
gosh. Yes.
That was my week.
Well, to the news.
To push.
We'll be right back.
Now I know y'all be loving this shit right here.
Anyways. Evolve.
Oh shit, are we on?
No, I was trying, okay. But apparently.
Well, now we are. Now we're... Hello and welcome back.
You sound like you are going to evolve, George, while you were at karaoke.
Who likes karaoke? That reminds me of the video game Evolve.
Right.
Do you guys remember the video game Evolve?
No.
It's easy to forget. It died. It did. So they're going to try to bring it back as free to play, which shouldn't be something. I mean, it was kind of a surprising bit of news this week because I was like, really? Evolve? Huh. But it also isn't the biggest surprise that they're trying to revive a dead multiplayer game by putting it free to play. It's going live today, believe it or not, as a quote-unquote beta.
Today on the recording day, yesterday for all of you, or a couple days ago if you're late.
Or July 7th, just to clarify exactly. They're rolling out a free-to-play version of Evolve in beta right now. I really want to check it out, actually, because ever since Rainbow Six Siege, I've been really interested in team-based competitive matchmaking multiplayer games that should be free-to-play, according to everyone. And I want to give this a try at pretty soon. Matt, you down?
Hell yeah.
Jimmy, you down?
No.
Jimmy never plays games with us, guys. I hope,
because I'm playing Overwatch and none of you guys are doing that.
Oh. It's like weird that I don't have Overwatch, though.
Honestly is very weird that you don't have Overwatch, but I have no interest in playing Evolve. It's not a game that interests me very much.
I played I guess it was a beta. I don't know what they were calling it, but they had a little free demo weekend before the game that they called some fancy word. And I liked the potential of the game. I mean, I also kind of liked the theming in a weird way, even though it's super generic. It reminded me a lot of like Turok games from the 90s, where big manly people things wearing cars were hunting ugly alien dinosaurs. I don't know. It reminded me of the aesthetics of my childhood. But also, now that I have a regular group going that plays games together, that means that we will talk and tacticize and shout out things that we see to each other, which is really fun. I recommend
Tango
everyone
down.
Have friends.
Who's that? Rambo Siege voice acting?
Yeah.
Tangle down.
It's
okay. It's okay. I dropped her. It's fine.
The lingo we've developed together is amazing. I could just like listen in my ears about how there were six Trump voters at V with a Larry David coming on the way, and I know exactly what they're talking about.
You know what else surprises me? That your group hasn't fucking gotten into Overwatch, because literally there's a character that everybody refers to as Dad, which is Soldier 76, because he's like a gray-haired, grizzled soldier. But like everyone just sees him as the dad
character.
Is that
what everyone's talking about when they? Yeah, because I retweeted something from Dodger. I didn't know what she was saying, but she said something like, "I'm so glad that people are doing all dad matches." And I was like, "Okay, retweeted."
Yeah,
but I guess that's what she was talking about.
Yeah, people call him Call of Daddy because he plays like Call of Duty shooter, but he's a dad character. Dad group, whatever your thing is called, dad stream should do that.
Yeah.
Overwatch.
Anyway, sorry for interrupting.
I gotta
with Overwatch,
buy Overwatch
constantly.
Though, but I'm sure that once I do, everyone else in the group will be like, "Finally, George Jesus," including Jimmy.
Yeah, finally, George Jesus. That one's for the future.
But yeah, Evolve is free to play. No word on how they're going to monetize it with microtransactions, but the official blog post release does say that anyone who owns Classic Evolve will be given founder status in the new free version.
Founder status.
Gosh.
But at least
they shouldn't use the word founder, because it's in too many garbage preset stuff. Like, you know, who started that? EverQuest Next started that garbage, and all of a sudden, ArcAge and everyone's doing these founder stupid packs where you have to buy money for a game for alpha access of a game that's not finished yet. Like $200 sometimes for some of these packs. Whatever. I'm done. All right, go ahead, George. Sorry.
There is a horrible gambling scandal rocking the world of YouTube and CSGO. Jimmy,
oh,
I have been like covered under my covers, just playing really weird World War One flight simulators,
flight sims,
and totally know of this scandal, but didn't actually watch any videos or read any articles about it yet. Jimmy, on the other hand, you're informed.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much all the videos say the same thing, but it's the fact that so many people are making videos. Like, literally, Jim Sterling was probably the most recent one to make a video on this, and his video starts with, you guys asked me, yes, I've heard of it, and I'm making a video that literally just restates everyone else, because I have nothing to add, and you know what my opinion's gonna be. So
what's the sitch?
Okay. So there's these two YouTube Let's Players / content creators, Pro Syndicate and Pro Syndicate's the one that T Martin.
Yeah.
Pro Syndicate and T Martin. So basically, over a long set of months, this community has been popping up of these CSGO gambling sites where you take your rare skins in CSGO and you pay to bet them against other people's skins. And so I have this skin that's worth like $50, but you have a bunch of skins that kind of like are that equate up to $50, and like, we're going to pin them against each other. You just like basically put them on the line and then flip a digital coin. And whoever wins just takes the pot. And it's like, I don't know. That's something that people enjoy doing, I guess.
But sounds dumb.
it is for all intents and purposes gambling. Not gambling under legal terms, because it's not with real money. It's with these digital skins, but it is absolutely
gambling.
How are
they doing that? How are they taking skins into this third party thing? How are they doing
because
it?
Valve is apathetic as fuck, and their whole MO for years has been, well, if we don't pay attention to it, it's not really our problem. It's absolutely a problem. So I don't know how these sites do that, but it's like Valve's not stopping them. So Pro Syndicate and T Martin, they have been doing videos where they like jump in on these sites and they, you know, they do some gambling sessions and they edit together, and it's all the video titles are like, like, dude wins $13,000 in 10 minutes or whatever.
Oh,
and
my God.
Because it's like, they bet a fuck ton of money because they have a fuck ton of money, and they put their crazy, crazy rare skins, and it's always just like them spinning and winning and being like, oh my God, like the whole time. And so
that's what people like, though.
I have seen those. I only skimmed it and didn't see what was the exciting part.
That was
about a week and a half ago.
I think the YouTuber's name is Call to Honor, Call to Arms, something like that. There's a guy who dug up the business registration for the site that both Team Martin and Pro Syndicate were using, mm-hmm. which is CSGO Lotto. And the business registration very clearly names Team Martin and Pro Syndicate as co-founders and owners of CSGO Lotto.
Oh, damn.
So, under FTC regulations, you absolutely have to disclose stuff like, you know, sponsorships, being paid for things, association with companies that are in brands that you're working for or with. And the original video that I think it was T Martin, one of them put up, the original video, he says, and everybody's been using this clip, honestly, it's like massive schadenfreude at this point, but it's like the video, he's literally like, so me and the other dude found this really cool site recently. It's called CSGO Lotto. And so, you know, we just tried it out. It was a new thing we found. And like,
oh no.
Then he goes on to say in that video that, like, so, you know, I won a pot. It was pretty cool. Felt good. So I hit him up on Twitter and they replied and they were like, yeah, we'll like give you some free skins to like, you know, use on the show and whatever. So I might have a deal with them soon. That's not a real thing that happened.
Oh,
he is CSGO Lotto. So.
Oh. God.
Very intentionally misleading his audience.
yeah, that sounds pretty cut and dry.
Right, yeah, that's one half of the shadiness. The other half of the shadiness is that because this isn't technically, legally gambling, anybody can do it of any age.
Gamble. Well, okay, because how does the transaction process work of turning stupid Photoshop files that you put on a gun in a video game into money?
Well, I'm going to csgolotto.com right now to see exactly how you do this.
Oh, live journalism. Let's go.
Well, I'm curious because I don't know exactly how it works. So I have to sign in through Steam to play. So that's already a fucking red flag.
That's already
how they do it. That's how they do it. Okay.
Well, I mean,
so it's LinkedIn.
You can't turn your Steam fun bucks into real money. But
yeah, but well... so I'm not sure exactly how this works.
You have to take your Steam inventory items to a third-party market somehow, and that's always the step that has eluded me, is how people manage to do that. Because Steam wallet money is only ever going to be Steam wallet money, which means it's not even money. It's like credit on their particular store.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. So cursory glance of what this is. Basically, you put your skins in a pot. They use another site called steamanalyst.com to determine the rarity and value of the skins. Based on your bets, you get, you know, a certain payout ratio. CSGO Lotto retains 8% house edge on mm-hmm. each round, meaning that I guess if you lose or something, you lose 8% or something like that. I don't really know how gambling works. I'm not very much into gambling.
Good.
But yeah, it's as I described it earlier, I think is pretty accurate. You just bet your skins, flip a digital coin, somebody gets them, somebody doesn't. It is absolutely gambling. It's just not with actual real money, but these items can be sold for real money. So it's like...
Mm-hmm. It's gambling in the pachinko in Japan sense.
Yeah.
Slot
machines.
Slot
machines.
Win a prize, then sell the prize at the store next door.
Exactly. So, but that's the other thing that people are very upset about is, like, anybody with half a mind would look at the site and be like, oh, it's gambling. Which is, you know, gambling's not illegal. It's regulated, but not illegal. But it is illegal if you're under 21.
Oh.
Right. And this
kids
is not
like video games.
Yeah. Kids like video games. Whoa. Kids make up the 10 million subscribers between T-Martin and Pro Syndicate's audience. So, this is pretty unethical, I'd say. Pushing a bunch of kids that you're misleading into thinking this is not your site to a site where they could pretty much get around the system and gamble. Not a good look for the CSGO boys.
Wow. Caught with your pants down.
Yeah, and also, I think T-Martin is the one who has been shutting up about it, but I don't know which one is which, but I know one of them, I think it's Pro Syndicate, has been talking and talking and trying to damage control and just like industrial backhoeing his own grave.
Yeah, don't talk to anyone on the internet ever.
Yeah, but like he put out an apology video that he later took down. That was like, I'm sorry for anyone who felt misled by our clearly disclosed.
Was that the one where he like hugs his dog?
Yeah, he hugs his dog at the start.
I'm watching it now. Because
I haven't been fully committing to any of the media I've seen on this, but I have just like clicked on them and seen the thumbnails. And
I think
I know the one with the dog.
I've been avoiding because this has been too much YouTube drama and I'm just like, I could care less.
I really
care less about
it. I really like not being a part of this, like not knowing even. Ignorance is bliss. And when I was seeing the evidence of CSGO gambling going on and not really understanding it and not playing CSGO these days and not following the drama, I was like, oh, good. I don't have to feel like I'm a part of a gambling ethics scandal. But, you know, that stuff has come awfully close to me already because I like CSGO and play it occasionally. And also, there's a New York Times interview editorial out talking about how casinos are specifically aiming to include more video games over the next year.
Right, but like, I guess it's just like, whatever, fine, like gambling, of course, but regulated because 21, but this is like, these fuckers are just the up and down, completely just dishonest and betraying the trust of their
audience,
their young audience, and
they don't know, they look up to these guys, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
just
it's
like,
it's weird to say, oh, they have a responsibility and blah blah blah, but like
they absolutely
they
do.
They do when the kid don't know better, right?
Which is something that a lot of grown ass adults don't know better either. Like YouTube drama is really, really popular because everyone of any demographic, there are people of all demographics are apparently into it. Like internet drama is such an easy thing to milk.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just hate how hard it might be in the future to not be a part of it because it's creeping ever closer. Both draw
it's
and
easy,
gambling.
Just don't make videos about it. And I think you should be at least be fine for the most part. Don't
video
be like
games
grade A
are
under
creeping,
A, like where he feeds off of it or something, or any
which
of those
is a
other
shame because I love that guy's videos.
I really don't like
videos that just talk shit about other YouTubers for 10 minutes.
Well, not to go on a super tangent. In Grade's case, some of his videos have some like meh points. Like his one against Markiplier and PewDiePie, and then when for their videos talking about drama, I think had some good points and had some bad points. But for the most part, I find his videos like pointing out specific people and being like, "This is a wrong thing, and we shouldn't allow this," and putting his entertaining spin on it. I don't think that's necessarily bad. I think people like Unspeakable Name that I won't speak on here are bad, but you know who
when,
I'm talking
when I,
about.
Like, grow into a wrinkly old man, I don't want to remember his videos by that. I want to remember having like a nice clean laugh about how stupid some animal names are.
Yeah.
The sequence where he shows a picture of a coyote and a wolf and a dog and then just zooms out and is like, "What the fuck, man? That's good comedy." It's a nice clean joke.
Yeah.
And I want more of that in my
yes,
life.
Yes, clean.
Yeah, anyway, because the coyotes and the wolves and the dogs look really alike sometimes.
If you want a like, if I recommend everybody who doesn't know who has not heard of the CSGO scandal thing to go look up H3 Productions video because theirs was the first to break and they got the information from that I think it's Call to Honor is the other channel, the guy who dug up the files or the registration for the business. But after you watch that, absolutely go fucking watch Total Biscuits video where
he rants.
Oh my God. His video is basically like, I don't get involved in drama, but I just want to make a video saying, absolutely fuck these people, get off my website, stop doing illegal shit, you're making the rest of us look bad. And that man has some fire in his voice.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he was pissed, man. And it was yeah. quite entertaining to hear him just like go nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's like it's like the only thing
I listened to. I kept away from anything else. I was like, wait a minute, is he gonna actually, and it's actually short. I was like, okay, yeah. I'll watch it. I'll bite. And it was entertaining. For the least, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I was trying to like prod at it earlier, but gambling systems are creeping into games a lot these days.
Yeah.
To the point where I guess this is how it ends and where it goes. There's this New York Times editorial I thought was interesting about casinos in Vegas specifically making moves to include arcade style video games and also new original games based off of skill over the coming year in order to update their demographics, because old people who like casinos are going to die eventually, right? Right. Yep. There's quotes from owners, VPs, CEOs specifically talking about how excited they are to bring in arcade style skill based video games into casinos,
mm-hmm.
which seems feasible, because I don't know, like when you walk into a lot of arcades, they have casino style systems in place for kids.
Yeah, it's not gambling because you're playing for tickets.
which if it's anything like the pachinko machines in Japan, is something you exchange for a toaster. Oh, look, this pawn shop next door that actually has a door inside the store to our store is taking toasters for $30. Yeah,
brand new in box, $30.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In the Yakuza games, it was plates. You would win novelty plates from the casino that you would then resell at the pawn shop next door.
Amazing.
Should I try this when I go to Japan later this year?
Yes.
Should I try to win a novelty plate that I sell at the pawn shop next door?
I should just totally go. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's gonna be cool.
Anyways. Pokemon Go launches. Yeah, that's news.
I told you guys.
Yeah, we did. We talked about Pokemon Go. It works sometimes.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is just day one.
Yeah.
Team Fortress 2. Oh, this is something I'm actually really excited about. Okay. When we're not playing Evolve, we should play Team Rainbow Six Fortress 2.
Man, some of these guys are like super good at Team Fortress. I'm going to get my body rocked, man, so hard.
It's fine, though, because you'll be on a team with friends where you can talk about Trump voters and dad points.
Yes.
So TF2's competitive mode is 6v6, like your usual video game competitive mode. You're rewarded in nothing but titles kinda that like match Overwatch. You up against
Exactly. Against I was people. Thinking the same thing. I was like, wait a minute, didn't Overwatch add something similar?
Overwatch didn't invent this stuff. The first time I really got into a competitive matchmaking mode. Yeah. Okay.
You were actually taking that seriously.
That's like, that was like a Skyrim with guns comment. Like, it's one of those
that
like
was
yes,
not
it's
as explicit for someone who does not have Overwatch and does not know how serious I should take Overwatch. That was totally not a Skyrim with guns. Like, even if you don't have Skyrim, you know that Skyrim with guns is a stupid concept. Overwatch with competitive mode is not a stupid concept. That's the way things should be.
I think it's more implying that both of them are coming out with a competitive mode at the same time. Interesting.
It's a little silly considering Overwatch just launched and Team Fortress launched like a decade ago.
Yeah, I'm surprised they never tried it earlier, but TF2 always like ran by the server browser and ecosystem.
I mean, they have two major patches a year where they add features, like, mm-hmm. you know, there was man versus machine, there's a bunch of stuff that they have added over time, but the coincidence of this timing of adding a 6v6 competitive mode in TF2 when a 6v6 TF2 like game just came out and launched their competitive mode is just a little silly to me.
Right. That's all. Yeah. I think everything should have a competitive mode. I think Tetris should have a team-based 5v5 competitive matchmaking system.
with classes and skills and skins
and accessories, red dot scopes.
That's the reason why there needs to be competition between games and so people can keep trying different stuff. If Overwatch didn't come out, we may not have competitive mode. So there you go.
I think CSGO is going to be more of an influence here because it uses the same engine and ended really well like a few years ago. Yeah, and it's the same developers. So they probably just like copy pasted a lot of the same codes over and then made it work for TF2.
Yeah, but they didn't do it until Overwatch came out. Mm.
But I mean, they probably didn't like scramble and get it done all in a week. It was probably in the works for a little bit more.
I mean, Overwatch has been in beta for almost a year, or was in beta for almost a year. So they. I'm just saying.
Also, I totally forgot that Overwatch is a TF2 clone.
That's how it is described.
This whole conversation, I wasn't actually even considering that because I'm just so used to hearing Overwatch being by itself now. I heard a lot more of the like, oh, Overwatch TF2 clone before it came out. Now that it's come out, it seems to have found more of its own identity.
I think people are realizing that comparison is more skin deep than anything. Like, obviously,
I genuinely haven't heard it since release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it has its like demo man and medic and engineer like one to ones in Overwatch, but like the games are so different that it's like it's like saying, well, Dark Souls is Zelda, right? Like, kinda, yeah. It's like Dark Souls is very similar to Ocarina of Time in so many ways, and people have made that comparison, and there's logic to back it up. But like, you wouldn't sell the game to somebody like that. That's not where it stands on its own, you know?
All right. So yeah, they added a competitive mode. Yay.
I want to play it. Do you want to play it, Matt?
Yeah, I'm down for any. I play anything.
Hey, Jimmy, you want to play competitive 6v6 matchmaking TF2?
No, absolutely not.
Oh my god.
It's Overwatch. What are you talking about? It's not TF2, it's Overwatch. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's basically an Overwatch clone. So Verdue is coming out for consoles, and I like how the timing for that is also coincidentally matching up with BF1. I don't know, like, I don't think everything's a coincidence.
No, I don't care even if Team Fortress 2 was like, fuck, Overwatch is coming out, we need to do a competitive mode. Like, that's fine. Like, it's a good business move, to be completely honest. Mm-hmm. I don't think that is underhanded or anything. I just think it's a fun observation.
Yeah, and fun observations are fun. We could all use more fun observations in our lives rather than...
You know where you can find fun observations? On youtube.com/sundergamer, where you can find all your favorite videos
all
about
your favorite
fun
observations.
All your favorite observations, like Elder Scrolls Oblivion sucks, but that's fine that it sucks.
Don't
and you can
mad
still
about
like it.
Video games.
Or I don't remember my other videos. Go watch my videos.
go to youtube.com/mattvisual where I do pack openings for Pokemon cards.
It's not true.
I just got a Blastoise EX Ultra Rare full art. And
not
man,
true.
Is that the new NVIDIA graphics card?
Yes, it is. It also, you can slot in the card directly into your chassis and everything is fine. Yeah.
What frame rate are you getting in Bloodborne now?
Oh, only 31. It only improved by one frame.
To max out Bloodborne.
Gotta catch all the frames.
I mean, that's what you get for $4 and opening a piece of cardboard. Yeah.
If you go to youtube.com/bunnyhopshow, you'll hear me mispronounce things.
And there's a lot of good information next to the mispronunciations, but
mostly
they are
mispronunciations. I do a mispronunciation channel.
Iwata.
I cover the comparisons between the Verdunes and the Sidmeers. I also like catching Pokemon.
Bush.
Tribes.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't tell your mom about us. Tell everybody else about us. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.